Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
I once had an interview with the head of children's neurosurgery in Boston. This guy was the head of the head of the head of all the physicians. So, hey, doctors are smart people. The smartest doctors become surgeons. The smartest surgeons become neurosurgeons. The smartest neurosurgeons become children's neurosurgeons, and they work at Children's Hospital. This guy was the top of his game, and he was so unsatisfied. And I asked him, why are you so unsatisfied with life? Because I wanted to be him in my career. And he said that I have nowhere else to go but down from here. It's all downhill. And he was in his 40s. And that's the topic of this episode. We're looking at satisfaction. Satisfaction. Hey, everyone. My name's Justin, and this is Inverse. And we have Israel and Siku and Sebastian.
Aloha.
And they're looking quite satisfied on this. Well, maybe Israel's not.
I'm always satisfied.
And hopefully you're satisfied as well, all of you who are watching and listening out there. We are looking at the topic of mental health and renewing the mind. You can go to Inverse Bible and download the Bible study guides there. And you can go to hopetv.org/inverse and watch the previous episodes. We've looked at anxiety. We've looked at, I can't think of...
Stress.
Grief. We've looked at, forgiveness.
Anger. Calming the angry mind.
Oh, the anger one was a good episode. Yeah.
Strongholds.
Strongholds. Cognitive distortions is probably the most psychobabbly thing that we've gone to. but there is a space where psychobabble and scripture kind of overlap. Yeah? Medicine and psychiatry and scripture overlap. So we don't want to go into the medical field. Hey, we rely on the professionals on that. But the scripture does talk about the mental and the spiritual components when it comes to mental health and mental disease. So we're in episode 12 and feeling satisfied. We're going to have ordered prayer. And Israel, can you pray for us, and we'll go to Isaiah.
Our Father in heaven, as we study your word, we recognize that we need your presence to lead us and to guide us, and so we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
For chapter 58 is where we're going to go, and let's rewind. Let's go to verse 6, and Siku, can we read from verse 6 to 10?
Okay.
And 11.
And 11.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday.
And verse 11?
Verse 11. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail.
Great. Thank you. Hey, Braxton, does God want us to be satisfied? Can we be satisfied?
So, yes and yes.
Yes and yes.
God does want us to be satisfied, and I think through Christ, we can be satisfied.
So not this prosperity theology when you pray for, you've been unsatisfied with your, Honda Civic from 1985 and you want a Porsche, 2027, God will satisfy you with that, not that.
No, definitely not. There's no oil that's going to allow you to afford that Porsche. But no, the satisfaction piece.
How'd you afford yours then, Sebastian? Did you touch the screen?
You know what, Israel? See me after the show. I think that satisfaction is one of the hardest things for many of us to achieve today. Hmm. We live in a culture that is obsessed with more, better. And the moment you elevate in life, there's always someone above you. There's always someone doing more. There's always someone having greater impact or
unsatisfied with your career, your body, your spouse, your family, your station in life.
And so I think your physical look and appearance, you know, there's been a huge surge of males having, you know, forms of muscle dysmorphia and feeling I'm not as muscular as I should be and over exercising and it leading to a lot of mental health issues. So I think dissatisfaction is something that underlines and can lead to a lot of mental health challenges.
And just,
I don't have a muscular body, but I'm very satisfied. Sorry,
Rachel, call in. Let us
see
what you think.
The show, all right? Sorry, Siku.
I was going to say, as a commentary to what you're saying, I think social media, for example, has accentuated this dissatisfaction with whatever your life may be.
Yeah.
So you could have a perfectly normal marriage, a perfectly normal relationship, but the picture that you see posted on Instagram is this unrealistic picture of everyday people's lives that then it becomes the aspiration. So dissatisfaction, I think, is probably worse. At an all-time high.
You know what? It used to be like before social media, it was like all these ideal people and all these Hollywood people, all these rich and good-looking people. But now it's like all your friends are those people. Mm-hmm. And like, am I the only one that is like not living this kind of life? Mm-hmm. That's what's happening.
That's 100% true.
The verse says here in verse 11, I think that's where let's talk about what the verses are saying. But in verse 11, it's not satisfaction with your life. Mm-hmm. It's not satisfaction in your mind. It's satisfaction in your innermost soul. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are the implications there? And maybe we should talk about what the chapter is saying and before we get there. What is chapter 58 really trying to get at?
Chapter 58 is talking about right at the beginning that there's this religiosity that God's people may have. And he's saying that fake religiosity, these external shows of, mm-hmm. you know, worship to God, and he's saying like that's not what God is requiring from us. This mm-hmm. is not what God is looking for.
He's blasting external religiosity. Yes. I love that phrase. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And he's saying that what I really want is an inner transformation, that who you are on the inside is changed, and that shows itself in who you minister to, mm-hmm. the way that you relate with the people who are downtrodden, the people who have less than, mm-hmm. the people who feel less than. The way that we relate to those people becomes a revelation of what's happening internally within us. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the setup, like before we get to
If I can do a quick word study, point out some things in verse 2, chapter 58, verse 2. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. And you skip down towards the end there. It says they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Mm-hmm. Go to verse 3. It says, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls? You do not take notice. In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit. No, that word for pleasure, delight is actually the same word. Mm. So these guys, as you said, external religiosity is where they take pleasure in. They look in the worship service, in the fasting, in the sacrifices. They actually take pleasure in the external. Mm. And so God turns it around. It's in verse 5. Mm-hmm. This is the fast that I've chosen. This is what I really require.
Yep.
And then verse 6, is this not the fast that I've chosen? And it talks about loosing the bonds of wickedness, undoing her heavy burden, sharing your bread. Verse 7, sharing your bread with the hungry. All these things. And then helping your fellow man, helping in... I don't want to say social work, but that kind of overglosses it. But caring for your neighbor, going the extra step and helping the weak, then you'll find satisfaction for the soul. It's kind of where I see this text going.
Yeah, but I mean, not just then you'll find satisfaction, because the satisfaction, because this can also become more doing of stuff, right?
True.
So the way that is...
So correct my theology,
right,
Siku.
The way that it's said in verse 11, when we get 11. The satisfaction.
Yes.
It says, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a water garden. So when our religion stops focusing on these externals of what we can do and that fast that he has chosen of afflicting our souls, of making sure that we're connecting with God, and it shows itself in the way that we treat people, in the way that we act in community, mm-hmm. God says, then I will satisfy you, mm-hmm. right? So the satisfaction is not in the actions that we do. It's actually mm-hmm. God who brings satisfaction as we do these actions.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was going to highlight, because if you look in verse 10, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. Mm. So now you're mm-hmm. satisfying the afflicted mm-hmm. soul. You're extending your soul to satisfy another soul. God will satisfy your soul, mm-hmm. right? And so the satisfaction I'm bringing to them is not even comparable to the satisfaction that God is bringing to me.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So I may be relieving your bread, but God is relieving my soul.
Mm-hmm. Which describes in society, we're all elbowing each other to make sure that I'm satisfied.
Yes.
Like my satisfaction is paramount and utmost, and I don't care if you don't get it. I need to get it by all means.
Absolutely.
And in that surge, I'm denying people of their satisfaction. Mm-hmm. I don't even get the satisfaction. I may get it a little temporary, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you're elbowing me, and I'm, you know, it's just this wrestling for this thing that only God can give.
And I think where Siku's going, mm-hmm. where this can become more doing, is sometimes we're so focus and obsessed with satisfying the soul of someone else, but we're not open to receiving. Because I think that's the other side of it. You can become obsessive over satisfying the afflicted in their soul and extending my soul, but how does God satisfy my soul if I don't allow myself to admit my need, my desire, my craving, and also open my own heart and hands to receive what he's trying to give me?
Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to finish this chapter out, not to finish the thought out, discussion out, but just to continue in the word study. Verse 13 of the same chapter says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day. So in the context of pleasure, we often use pleasure as like, hey, don't play video games, don't do your own pleasure. But the context of pleasure is the pleasure of external religiosity on the Sabbath day. Mm-hmm. So the worst day where they're the most religiously fake is on Saturday, the day of Lord's worship. Oof. So if you turn your way foot, going back to verse 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on the holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, so the delight is a different word, I mean, actually enjoying it for what it's worth. Mm. The day, holy day of the honorable shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure. Again, the pleasure is back to outward religiosity. Nor speaking your own words, verse 14, then you should delight yourself in the Lord, cause you to ride upon the high hills, feed you with the heritage of Jacob, the mouth of Lord has spoken. Again, it's pointing towards satisfaction that only God can give.
Yeah.
And it's like we're trying to find this spiritual satisfaction from these outward things, but God's like, I'm the only one that can give it to you.
No,
true.
The beautiful thing about this section that you just talked about with the Sabbath as a gift that God gave to humanity is this symbol of how we rest in Him. Mm. And as we rest in Him, He's the one who strengthens us to do what He's calling us to do.
It's like the symbol of satisfaction.
Exactly, right? And so it's like as we, the Sabbath should be the day when we realize where our true satisfaction comes from. It comes from God, right? And as you were pointing out, I mean, just the irony, I guess, of it is the Sabbath becomes the day that we get so busy in pleasure of doing all the things that we think show God that we care and that we love Him, right? And then throughout the week, we do the same thing. And we do not delight in God. We do not find our rest in Him.
Yeah.
And from that place of rest comes the activity, comes the things that we should be doing in Him for Him.
Yeah. This chapter is so piercing. Like it's so contextually very, very, very specific. But I don't know, for me, it's very like, what are you doing, Justin? You're smirking over there.
As I was reading this, at first, to be honest with you, when we were doing Isaiah 15, I was like, oh man, there's nothing in here about satisfaction. I was making fun of the author. But then I'm like overwhelmed with like the philosophical, theological.
That's all I was talking about, satisfaction.
And something that sticks out to me is, first of all, the human tendency is outlined here, is expressed, that we think of satisfaction in terms of formulas. If I do this and this and this, then I will be satisfied. And these formulas, we as Christians, we blast the secular people for doing. So like, oh, you think that if you invest the right way, you're going to have enough for your retirement. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to have the boat.
Become famous, et cetera, et cetera.
So we shoot that down, and we're like, you know, you heathen people are so horrible, right? but what Isaiah 58 explains is that the same formula that the world follows is the same formula
you
that
got
we
your own same yeah. formulas.
And yeah. we think, okay, we think Man. That if we have this, if we produce this cause, we should receive this effect, right? Mm. If I, you know, delight to do the will of God, if I, you know,
bring
approach
these offerings.
Him, yeah, if I do all of these different things, if I fast, then I will be satisfied. Mm. And God says, no, that's not the way satisfaction works. Satisfaction can only be obtained through what I'm reading here and through what our theologian Ziegler is saying, is that it can only be obtained through a gift. Satisfaction is actually a gift from God. Mm. And we receive that gift as Sebastian was, that was actually very powerful. I was like, all right, okay. is when we seek to satisfy other people, then God gives us the gift of satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep.
So what kind of has been popping out to me here is that unselfishness is the key to being happy, to being satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes, it's not formulaic, but it's more, it goes along with the principles of the government and the philosophy of God, that it is in unselfishness that we ourselves become developed, that it is in unselfishness that we become happy.
Mm. Yep.
And the gift is itself, like the unselfish. Unselfishness is the gift itself. And it's beautiful because God...
Unselfishness is the gift itself.
Yeah.
Man, that's...
It's deep. Yeah, and I think that what's beautiful about this passage is that it brings satisfaction within the context of the Sabbath.
Mm.
You know, the Sabbath is a time when we can... rests from the craziness of the world. Even just like if you just get rid of social media alone, right? Which is the, you know, the fruit of all problems, right?
The
root of all problems.
The root of all problems.
Not the fruit, the root, right? I mean, if we were to just, the amount of rest that we would find, the amount of satisfaction that we would find in time with God, time with others, thinking about the blessings that God has given to us, Because we're so slow to accept this and to believe it and to put it into practice, God gives us, through his grace and mercy, a weekly reminder, attempt to redo this again.
And you know what's powerful about what you're sort of enlightening with not only the Sabbath, but the unselfishness component is when I used to think about what would make me satisfied as a non-Christian, it's so true that whenever you achieve, you think that true happiness is found in things that are not available to all people. It's when I become as famous as this person, or as good of a basketball player as this person, or when I get to this level in the corporation. There's only one CEO, right? There can only be one owner.
Oh, there's co.
And so you're in your mind, you think, you know, I thought true happiness is found in things that are not available.
Yeah.
When in this is showing you that true happiness is found in things that are available to all people.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can serve. Everyone can satisfy an afflicted soul. Everyone can extend their soul to be a blessing. And therefore, true happiness being found in the things that are available to all people. Otherwise, you'd have to be condemning the world to a life of sorrow and misery.
Mm-hmm.
Because how many people can become billionaires,
yeah.
right? 1% of the population of America owns 90% of the wealth. So if wealth is the key to happiness, 90% of people will not be happy in just this country alone, let alone the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this really shows us in Isaiah, you don't have to be wealthy to extend your soul. You don't have to have all this extra money in the bank to satisfy an afflicted soul.
Mm-hmm.
You can be at any state, socioeconomic status, any culture, any gender, any age, and you can extend yourself to serve and to satisfy someone else's soul, and the promise of God remains the same. I will satisfy your soul in drought. And so I think in that sort of paradigm shift that I went through in recognizing, why am I so obsessing over my career? Why am I obsessing over my business? Why am I obsessing over these things? They're not gonna bring me the satisfaction. It's these things that are available to everybody who don't have a business, who don't do what I do. So I got to find those things, and those are the things that are really going to bring the satisfaction.
I mean, we've used the word satisfaction around. Can we spend some time in talking about what? I mean, this is a very profound discussion. Like, what is it to be satisfied?
In the context of, I mean, I guess what I'm coming from is like this text is really putting rest, satisfaction, Sabbath is all equated together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how many of us, maybe me, how many of us are so unsatisfied on Sabbath?
Yeah, mm. Right, yeah. Especially yeah. those of us who have to work, you know, yeah, on the Sabbath.
But like, you know, we're the day of rest, and we've had whole quarters about Sabbath, right? We've talked about Sabbath galore, but from this perspective, and you're right. I think for some of us are ministers, but the endeavor here is these people, I should say Israelites, are given the command to be in an industry to satisfy those around you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if you're hungry, satisfy them with bread. If they can't walk, satisfy them with, I mean, what does it say there? Help them to walk, loosen their burdens, mm-hmm. oppress, you know, all the mm-hmm. stuff that they talked about there. I think it's easy for this to be into like, you know, this is social justice mm-hmm. and go help the poor people. Mm-hmm. I think it's way beyond that.
Yes.
Yeah, much deeper.
It's change your life so that you're satisfying the needs of those around you.
Yes.
And then that you're satisfied. Like, that's rest. Mm-hmm. That's yes. Sabbath living. Like I don't know, but this is just a very like it's just coming to it's congealing.
But I think the and Sebastian pointed to it. Well, he stated it that as we are pouring ourselves into others, being open to the Lord pouring into us, mm-hmm. right? And so the Sabbath is a day that you like it being right in the middle of the commandments of our duty to God and our duty to mankind. The Sabbath, like right there at that intersection where mm-hmm. on that day we rest and we recognize that God pours into us, mm-hmm. like what God has done for us. He's the one who has redeemed us. He's our creator. And then that is what enables us to be able to pour into others. So that rest component, it needs both elements in order mm-hmm. for us to find satisfaction. Because mm-hmm. when you're talking about definitions of satisfaction, when I think satisfaction, it's being at that place where you don't feel like you need anything more, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And you can't be at that place if all you're getting is receiving from God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, if all I do is go to church and I'm eating, and it's like you get spiritually obese. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't feel so, you feel groggy.
That's the guys in the beginning,
right?
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But likewise, if all I'm doing is giving, you get drained and you feel, so you need both elements in there, and that the Sabbath actually brings both of them together.
And I would even go a level deeper to say, when he talks about, I will satisfy your soul in drought, right? Mm-hmm. That all of a sudden there's a lack, right? There's a drought. And he's like, when everyone else is not getting, you're going to get in this time of drought, which associates with thirst. And so to me, satisfaction is directly and inseparably connected to a desire, to a thirst, to a craving. And so when I say that I'm satisfied, if I have no desires, if I have no cravings, if I have no thirst, there is no such thing as satisfaction. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even know it.
No need for satisfaction.
Right. Yeah. So to me, the satisfaction in and of itself, similar to them satisfying the afflicted soul, that soul without the affliction would not need satisfaction. Mm-hmm.
I'm putting together your guys' comments, but like in verse 11, it says, you shall be like a watered garden and mm-hmm. like a spring of water mm-hmm. whose waters do not fail. So it's got that, it's a drought. Mm-hmm. And then you yourself, you're a watered garden. So you're satisfied, but you're also a spring of water that you can satisfy those around you and you don't fail. Like it's like all those three components put together.
Yep.
Man, that's awesome. I was.
No, that's a great insight because I think for a lot of us, we have to acknowledge those desires. And then sometimes there needs to be scaffolding on what's a genuine desire that God wants to satisfy. And then recognizing the desires that this is not going to be satisfied. This is a sort of a desire amiss, right? To borrow words from James 4. But then there's desires that won't be fully fulfilled until glory, until heaven. And that I'm not made for this world. When we talked about grief, when we talked about the anger, the forgiveness, there are some things we're not going to get full resolution until Jesus comes. Mm-hmm. And so there is still a period of that Abraham, Hebrews 11, we died in faith, not having received the promises, but I'm persuaded of them and that confidence. So I think there's satisfaction on all those different levels of cravings and desires that we have.
So one of the things that the people of of Israel are saying to God is, you know, we're calling on you. You're not listening to us. You know, you're not giving us the response that we're calling for, right? Mm. And God says, well, when you do my will, when you fast the right way, when you observe the Sabbath, then I will give you these different things. But the things that he's giving is light, healing, his presence, God, then light again in verse 10, guidance, satisfaction in drought, water, and healthy bones, right? And, or health, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I put health, bones. Yeah, health.
We're bones. Tracking with you every there, and like healthy yeah. bones. Yeah, yeah. Amen.
There
amen.
Is healthy
amen.
Bones.
Amen. Amen. Say amen. No osteoporosis. Yeah.
So you may be, oh yeah, this is what I was saying. So in our human experience, we have, going along with what Sebastian was saying, we have these ideas of what we want to satisfy us. Mm. But actually, there's a deeper reason for why we want what we want. You know, we want financial security. There's a deeper reason for that. Or we want money. There's a deeper reason for that. Financial security, right? And so what God is speaking about here, he's not speaking about just satisfying our immediate desires or our superficial desires. Yeah. He's talking about satisfying our deepest desires.
Mm, yeah.
And your soul.
Yeah, and in the very depth of our souls. And so God is saying, when you are unselfishly serving other people, because I know you better than yourself, I will give you what you don't even know you want, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I will bypass what you think you want, and I will go down to the very core of who you are and give you what you don't even know you want. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the beauty of the love of God and his wisdom in knowing who we are better than we know ourselves, and in satisfying us in ways that we did not even know we wanted.
Mm-hmm. Which goes back to the creation of marriage, right? Adam wasn't dissatisfied before he created Eve. It was God who said, it's not good. Hmm. So there we see again, God is like, Adam's content, but I'm not content. Hmm. Yeah. There can be even more happiness here, mm-hmm. and therefore it creates marriage.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking of, as you're speaking, that verse says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Psalm 37.
Right, yeah. That when we delight ourselves in God, there's a transformation that happens even in us. Mm-hmm. And what we desire actually even changes as we relate with God, as we get to know him. Mm-hmm. So God wants to give us even more than we know we want right now, but there's even more happiness than we could even perceive, or that we couldn't even think of, right. that God would like to bestow upon us. So.
Mm-hmm. One word that comes to my mind that summarizes this all is purpose. Purpose. Mm-hmm. God gives us purpose, and he satisfies the innermost soul, and he sends us on a mission to satisfy the afflicted souls around us, and it's only the Lord can do that. I know that's my prayer, and hopefully that's your prayer out there, to find satisfaction, unlike Mick Jagger's song, that we can find satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
We talked about satisfying the affliction of the afflicted souls out there. Next week's episode is about healing those who are hurt around us. Healing those who are hurt. You won't want to miss it. Those who hear on Inverse. God bless you guys.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Callie Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.